I don't plan to keep you long. This is a passage of scripture that I feel like I've preached 100 times. And I got any more where I feel like anything that I turn to, I preach to y'all. And but I do realize that y'all don't listen. So anyhow, all these new sermons that y'all hear from everybody else that I've preached 5 times, I've come to realize that y'all don't remember anything. And so anyhow, I'm gonna preach tonight on one thing. Amen. Is everybody all right? No, not really. But anyhow, let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. And we'll look at this passage of scripture. I know you've heard the verses. I know you've read the verses. I know that I have preached from here multiple times. I've given devotions from here. So I do love this passage of scripture. But this come about this week because of a conversation that I had with Brother Paul McSwain. He's here tonight, bear in the back. And it all kind of was birthed in me over that conversation. And I really didn't know how to preach it, how to bring it across. But I thought that it was a very good perspective from a young Christian, somebody who's young in their Christian walk, and something that could help us all. Amen. All right, so let's take a look at the scripture. We'll read it, and then we'll get into this thing, all right? In Philippians chapter number 3, if you're there, I want you to say amen. All right, so let's start in verse number 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse number 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I don't know of anybody in this building tonight that wouldn't want to tap into that. I need somebody to help me. Man, could you imagine the tapping into the power of the resurrection? Paul said he would know Jesus. He would like to know him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, as much as we want the power, we don't want the suffering. Somebody help me now. And we enjoy that power. And boy, we ask for that power. But we want that power. We want to bypass the sufferings. The fellowship of his sufferings to get that power. All right. Now, let's look at it. It says the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. The Bible says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul was saying that he may know him and the power of his resurrection. How? Through the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable to his death. In other words, maybe the only way Paul would experience the power of the resurrection was in his dead body. And so he says, if I may attain, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. As we move forward in verse number 12, he says, not as though I had already attained. So Paul said, as long as I'm here, I have not attained it. All right. That seems elementary. That seems like it's something that's just, you know, that's common sense. As long as he's here, he's not really attained the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection is life in a dead body. And as long as he's in a body and alive, then he's not experienced the full power of the resurrection. But he says that, oh man, he would attain it if he could, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse number 12, not as though I had already attained. Neither were already perfect. Now, boy, I tell you what, there's a lot of people that feel like they're perfect. But Paul said, I'm not perfect. Y'all don't miss that. I need somebody to help me right here. All right. This is for all these Christians out there that think that once you get saved, you don't ever sin again. Try to convince the world you don't ever sin again. Paul said, I am not perfect. I like that. I like Paul was honest. All right. He says, either we're already perfect. I've not attained this and I'm not already perfect. I'm not already matured. I've not gotten to the point. I'm not reached. I preach this. Y'all may remember it. I've not reached my full potential. That's what he's saying. Bible goes on, he says, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Now, we see this apprehend and we think of catching. But that's not what Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about he's wanting to lay hold of it. He's wanting to grab hold of it and wrestle it to the ground, if you will. Think about a football player. He's not just trying to run you down. He's going to run you down and then take you down. Lay hold on you. I need somebody to help me, all right? This is the mindset that Paul has when he talks about this. He says, but I follow after. He said, I pursue, I run after, I chase after, that I may apprehend, that I may grab a hold of it, that I may lay hold of it, that I may take it to the ground and take it as mine. That for which I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Now, the only way that he's going to be able to do this is with the understanding that that's what Jesus did to him. I need somebody to help me right here. Jesus just didn't save you so that you'd have a ticket to heaven. All right? I need somebody to help me. He didn't just run you down and say, hey, I want to give you a ticket to heaven. All right? The thought here is that Jesus has apprehended Paul, grabbed a hold of him, laid hold of him, took him to the ground, made him his. Does everybody understand? Paul says, I'm desired to do that because Jesus has done that to me. If that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I've not laid hold of this. Y'all, listen, are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Paul, understanding apprehension and what he's saying, apprehending here, he's talking about laying hold of, grabbing hold of, and making it his own. And now he's telling us, he says, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I'm in pursuit. Y'all remember that? I'm in hot pursuit. What did that come off of? Somebody tell me. Smokey and the Bandit. If you don't know that, then I'm not questioning whether you even say. Hey, Jackie, I'm in hot pursuit. Man, that's funny. I'm telling you, y'all don't know that movie. Y'all need to go watch it, all right? I just go ahead. Say your preacher told you to, all right? Now, but he's saying I haven't caught him yet. I haven't laid hold of it. I hadn't brought it down yet. So this one thing I do. Are y'all hearing me? Paul said, I've not apprehended it. I've not laid hold of it. I ain't got it all. I'm not perfect. I've not attained. I'm still pursuing. But he said, this one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Come on, I need somebody to help me right here who's ever run a race. What's the one thing that they tell you not to do when you're running a race? Don't look back. And this is the meaning that Paul has behind this. I have not apprehended what I'm pursuing. So this one thing that I do, I'm not going to look back because I need somebody to help me. I'm never going to catch it if I look back. There was a picture of a race, and I don't have the details on it or anything, but I read about it, and it said that there was a picture. It was caught this perfect picture of the finish line, and one of the contestants is looking back over his shoulder to see where the other runner is. And as the picture is snapped, the other runner is on this side of him with his chest out, taking the finish line. And it goes again. It perfectly pictures the reasoning behind not looking back. And Paul says, I'm not apprehended. I'm not caught what I'm pursuing. And he says, so this one thing I do, I forget about those things behind me. I can't do nothing about those things that are behind me. I can't go back and change those things that are behind me. I can't go back and make it better, those things that are behind me. What I must do is forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before me. This ain't a picture of the, if this ain't a perfect picture of living now. In the present. I need somebody to help me. There's some people that are too focused on the future. There's some people that are too focused on the past. We're living right now. And Paul said, right now, I'm not looking back. I'm just going to keep going and reaching forward. Unto those things which are before me. Verse number 14. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This word here, this wording here, it may confuse us. It may ask us, may get us to ask the question, what is the mark of the high calling of God? Well, in the context, what did Paul want to know? He wanted to know Jesus and the what? Power of his resurrection. If he may obtain, remember in verse, which was it? In verse number 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So the high mark, this pressing, if we go back to verse number 14, he says, I'm pressing toward the mark or the end or the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God. I believe that this is what Paul had in mind. Paul said there's soon and very soon, there's coming a day when Jesus is going to come back. And I'm going to do, is everybody all right? That's not preached in the church or believed in the church. We don't live like Jesus could come back tonight. We don't live like Jesus could come back tomorrow. We don't live like Jesus could come back next week. But Paul did. And Paul said, I'm pressing toward that mark, whether I be taken up or whether I die in resurrected body. He says, I'm pressing toward that mark. He said, in other words, it ain't over. I think Brother Tommy Steele said this. It ain't over till God says it's over. Paul said, I don't get to choose when it's done. I don't get to choose the finish line. I don't get to choose when to stop. He says, I'm forgetting the things behind me and I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm pressing toward those things. I'm reaching towards those things that are before me, right? Verse number 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. That would be none of us. So we must be talking about something different here. Mature. Come on, I need somebody to help me. Some of us have been saved a while. We need to go ahead and fess up that we ought to be mature by now. We're not perfect. We've not reached the end. We've not attained. But let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything, be ye otherwise minded. God shall reveal even this unto you. Paul says, if you ain't quite there yet, my prayer is God reveal this to you. Is everybody with me? So, as I was looking at this, let me get back to the story. So, Monday, me and Brother Paul's riding down the road. We're riding down the road and we're talking about folks that he's invited to church. There's a couple that's coming now that he's invited to church. And I reached out to him Sunday. I said, man, I sure am glad y'all come to church. And they're here as a result of Brother Paul asking them to be here. And anyhow, he responded back. He said, brother, we have found our new church home. He said, we love it. We're loving coming. And I was like, well, praise the Lord. He said, we ain't going to be there this Sunday now. We already had plans to be out of town. But I promise you, we'll be there the next Sunday. We are enjoying church. We're riding down the road and we're talking about different things, this couple in particular. And anyhow, Brother Paul, he said this to me. He said, Brother Robbie, I got one goal for this year. I was like, oh, here we go. He says, I got one goal for this year. He says, I want at least one person that I bring to church to get saved. He said, I know it's a small goal. I know that it ain't much. He started making excuses. I know it ain't much. I know it's a small goal. And I turned to him. I said, Brother Paul, I said, I wish everybody in the church had that goal. I need somebody to hear me. I wish everybody in the church had that same goal. None of us is perfect, but if just one person that I invited to come to church was to get saved, how would it change your life? How would it change my life? I got to thinking about it. What if every person at this church had the goal of bringing just one person to know Christ this year? Oh, come on now. Don't get quiet on me. All the mature Christians that ain't led nobody to the Lord in 10 years, say amen. Easy. So as we look at this thing, man, I was thinking, I mean, I couldn't help. When he said, I got one goal. Man, I thought, man, if we could just get that mindset into everybody. I got to thinking about some of the things that we have goals for this year. Come on, y'all help me now. But I thought about personal goals. As some of us have started off and said, we're going to lose some weight this year. Don't be lying. I know a bunch of y'all said we're going to lose weight because it was said in my house all over, all up and down my house, family, kids, everybody. Hey, some said I'm going to get healthy. Somebody said I'm going to join a gym. Let me go ahead and tell you that stuff's overrated. I've joined the gym and I've only worked out there 1 year, but I've been a member out there for like four. All right. How about this? I'm going to have less drama. Oh, that's a good personal goal. I tell you how to get less drama, get off social media, but that's your business. I'm going to have peace. There's another one you can get off social media, but that's maybe personal goals. But then we can look at maybe some family goals. Maybe there's somebody in here says, I want to be married by the time the end of this year is over. Come talk to me. Maybe somebody's in here saying, I want a child before this year is over. Come talk to me. I want to say, maybe someone has for their family, a goal for their family. Say, I want to see somebody in my family saved this year. Everybody with me? Maybe it's maybe spiritual growth for your children. Spiritual growth for your wife. Spiritual growth for your husband. Maybe you got employment goals. I want to raise this year. Somebody say amen right there. Maybe you say, hey, I want a promotion this year. My goal is to get a promotion this year. My goal is to get a raise this year. Maybe some of you, my goal is to quit my job this year. Hey, the other night, or not long ago, we was at a place of employment here, our business. We were eating. Business was fixing to shut down. And I asked the waitress, I was like, so what are you going to do after it shuts down? And she says, I think I'm going to try out unemployment. Try it out. I think I'm going to give it a shot. See how it goes. Like, man, it must be nice. Come on. I need somebody to help me right here. It must be nice living in this day and time. Because when me and Michelle first got married, you didn't want to be on unemployment. You wanted a job. You wanted a job so bad that you went out looking for a job. But maybe your goal this year to quit your job, and I don't mean to go on unemployment, maybe to quit your job so that you can pursue something, maybe independent, something in your own, a business of your own. Maybe your goal for employment is retirement this year. Anybody wanting to retire this year? Just me and Jackson? All right, I got you. Amen. All right. How about this? Maybe a future goal. Retirement would fit into that pretty well. How about maybe travel? Oh yeah, man, I'd like to do that some too. Maybe homestead. Maybe get you a house, a farm, or whatever. Maybe that's a goal for you. A future goal. Maybe investment, savings. But what about your spiritual goals? What about your spiritual goals? What spiritual goals have you set for yourself this year? Maybe you say, preacher, I want to mature in Christ. That's a good goal. Maybe you say, preacher, I want to get a better prayer life. It's a great goal. Preacher, I want to read my Bible through. Preacher, I want to be a student of the Bible. I want to learn more about my Bible. Maybe you say, preacher, I want to join the college and I want to learn. Maybe you say, preacher, I'm going to get all of the discipleship that I can get. Those are good spiritual goals. Is everybody all right? And then, as we've already talked about, the witness. What kind of goals do you have for witnessing? Have you set any goals? You do know that we have a great commission. Stay with me. Help me now. I know I lost y'all right there. Stay with me. We have the great commission. You and I have the responsibility to go into the world and preach the gospel. What goals have you set for that? What goals? Do you want to see somebody saved? Oh, easy now. Do we want to see somebody saved? We have a commission. We're supposed to work towards that. What are we doing? Have we set any goals? Your goal may be one person saved. Goal may be two, three, so forth, so on. We can go on up. I mean, my goal is I want to see 100 people saved. Amen. If you've been around here long enough, you know that's been my goal every single year. I want to see 100 people walk the aisle in this ministry. And we have seen 100 people walk the aisle in years in this ministry. And that's a goal every year. That is a goal for me. I want to see that take place. Why? Because me and you have a job. Come on, help me now. We have a job to do. But what good does it do us if we set goals and then we don't work to obtain them? Huh? What good does it do? Oh, I want to lose weight. I want a number one with a large fry and a Diet Coke. I need somebody to help me. And some hot donuts. Hey, man, come on, y'all, help me. I mean, does it do any good to have a goal if you're not going to work to obtain it? Y'all don't get quiet on me now. This is supposed to be that crowd that really loves Jesus. The crowd that comes on Wednesday. That's all right. So how do we go about this, preacher? Well, I want you to look how Paul did it. First, I want you to notice his presumption. He said his presumption. We find it in verse number 12. Let me do it right there. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul's assumption was, number one, it ain't over. His presumption was, it ain't over. I've not obtained. Just because I'm saved doesn't mean that I have reached the highest level that you can possibly reach with the Lord. And I feel like some people, their goal in life is just, hey, I got saved, and that's all they want to be. But you and I, if we believe the scripture, Jesus is coming back. And you and I are going to one day stand before Christ. And do we really want to stand before Christ saying, man, I sure am glad I got into heaven. I was so glad I got into heaven that I did nothing after I got saved. But wait for it. No, Paul says, hey, I understand it is not over. I have not already attained. I am not perfect. I'm not to my full potential. And so he says, there's more for me to do. There's more for me to do. I have not arrived. I've not gotten there. It's not over. And therefore, there is something for me to do. The church has got to wake up and realize that there is something for us to do. It's not just come and attend church. It's not just being faithful on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. It's not just coming into church and saying, woo, I checked that off of my list. And you and I have a job to do. Why? Because it's not over. And one day it's going to be over. There's somebody that you've been praying for. Man, I hope my sister gets saved. I hope my brother gets saved. I hope my mama or my daddy, or I hope my grandma or my grandpa gets saved. I hope my cousin gets saved. What are you going to do if Jesus comes back tonight? You going to go to heaven wishing that they had got saved? Say, y'all help me. Y'all save me. Y'all are like dead right now. Hey, what are we going to do? What if tomorrow never comes? What if you don't get an opportunity to have lunch with them on Friday? What if you don't get an opportunity to have lunch with them on Saturday? What if Sunday doesn't roll around? If you have set a goal to see somebody saved or to hear or to share the gospel with somebody, then what are we waiting on? It's not over. We have a chance. And if we truly believe that Jesus could come back tonight or could come back tomorrow, then what is it that keeps us from doing it? Y'all, do we really live with the knowledge that Jesus could come back tomorrow? How important is it that your children be saved? My children don't like to come to church. How important is it? How important is it to you that your children be saved? What happens if Jesus comes back tomorrow? Well, I sure hope my spouse gets saved. What happens if Christ comes back tomorrow? I want to be a church that sets some goals. I want to be a Christian that sets some goals. Paul realized that it ain't over, but it could be. Do you understand what Paul's saying? He's saying, I don't know when he's coming, so I'm just going to press towards the mark. I'm going to press towards the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm just going to keep running forward because I do not know when Jesus may come back. Not only did he presume that he had not obtained, but he presumed that this whole thing could be over in the twinkling of an eye. What goals have you set? How many of you are burdened for somebody and you want to see them saved? What are we doing to make that happen? What are we doing to achieve that? Number one, we see his presumption. Do you realize tonight that this could all end tomorrow? Do you realize tonight that before you lay your head down on a pillow, Jesus could return? Who is it in your life that needs to hear the gospel? Maybe tonight. His presumption. Number two, his parting. I like this. Go to the next verse, Miss Carrie, if you will. Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul says his parting, what Paul had to leave. He had to leave. He had to forget about his accomplishments. Paul is at towards the end of his life. He's writing in a Roman cell right now. He's in prison. And he's writing to this church in Philippi. And he's saying, hey, I got to forget all those things that I've done. All those missionary trips. All those missionary journeys. All the people that I've seen saved. All the people that I've led to the Lord. All the people that I've discipled. All the great things that I've seen done by God. He says, I'm forgetting those things. Because if I get caught spending too much time looking back on those things, I'm going to lose. He had to separate himself from some things. He had to separate himself from some accomplishments. It's real easy to sit there and say, I can do it. Y'all want me to do it? I'll do it. Man, I'm going to tell you what. Back in 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, every year over 100 people walked the aisles in this church and got saved. Every time we turned around, people were getting saved. 10 people, 11, 12 people a month were getting saved right here at Calvary Baptist Church. So what do? Hang up the hat and say, well, that's all good. This is what Paul's saying. Hey, I got to separate myself, forgetting some things that are behind, forgetting those things. I'm reaching forth unto those things which are beyond or before. So his parting, he had to separate himself from his accomplishments. Let me say this, he had to separate himself from his disappointments. I need somebody to hear me right here. Everybody look at me. Because this is a problem right now with our Christians today. We go and tell somebody about Jesus and they reject him and all of a sudden we're just crushed. Well, I tried. I tried to tell them about Jesus. What would have happened if Paul would have went and Paul would have quit on the first person that rejected Christ? Y'all do know that 40-something men made a pact that they would neither eat nor drink until they killed Paul. And yet he kept going. Do y'all know that Paul sitting in a prison cell and his one thought was that he may continue to serve the Lord and see people saved sitting in a prison cell. Paul wanted to stand before Caesar and preach the gospel, but he had to do it through a jail cell. And he was so enamored by what God had did for him, that he was willing to go through prison to preach the gospel to the king. Is everybody all right? I mean, there was a million ways that could have went. He could have been highly sought of, been paraded in and everything else, but no, he was a prisoner. Paul had some disappointments in his life and he had to forget those things. He had to leave those things behind and continue to reach forth. Say, somebody help me. That's what you and I have to do. Not everybody that you talk to is going to get saved. But that doesn't mean that somebody else doesn't need to hear the gospel. Remember, they don't reject you, they reject him. His presumption, his parting, his pursuit. I notice this, it says, in reaching forth unto those things which are before. I read a little bit on this, a study on this, and it literally means to reach out. I wrote this down. His pursuit would make him vulnerable. Yeah, when you overextend and you reach it, it makes you vulnerable. I need somebody to help me right here. When I tell somebody about Jesus, it makes us vulnerable. The average Christian won't share their faith because they're scared of the humiliation. And Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 that we hold this treasure in earthen vessels. You have the power of God unto salvation inside of you. And to share it, the devil will try to convince you it makes you vulnerable. I need somebody to help me. Somebody needs to turn loose the power. I'm going to say that again because y'all didn't get it. It's in us, and some of us need to turn loose the power of God and quit worrying about what somebody might say about us. His pursuit would make him vulnerable. Let me say this, and I'm going to move on from this because we're running out of time. His pursuit required maximum effort. His pursuit, he says this, he says in verse number 12, but I follow after. He says in verse number 13, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse number 14, I press. Paul said, my pursuit is going to make me vulnerable, but my pursuit is going to require maximum effort. I got to give it all I got. Why? Because tomorrow may never come. Lastly, in the prize that Paul was looking forward to was Jesus' return. Paul said, if I may obtain the resurrection of the dead, whether it be by rapture or whether it be by death and resurrection, Paul was looking forward and pressing toward the mark, that mark being the high calling, the upward calling of God. In other words, the day that God calls us home. That's what he was pressing towards. Man, if there was ever somebody who did not have earthly view, it was Paul. Paul said, the greatest prize that I could ever get is leaving here and being with him. And how many Christians today live with that same mindset? My goal in life is to build a house, do this, do that. Paul said, my goal and what I press towards is the day that I'm going to lay eyes, I'm going to lay hold of what has laid hold of me. The day that I'm going to stand in his presence. The day that I'm going to look him face to face and see my Savior. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul said the greatest calling, the greatest gift, the greatest prize that could ever be given to the Christian is when you and I lay hold of what has laid hold of us. When we grab hold of, apprehend what has apprehended us. Tonight, what's your goal? What's your goal? As I talk with Brother Paul, man, I can't tell you. Brother Paul, I appreciate you, man. I know you're not perfect. I've rode with you for 5 minutes. You know I ain't perfect because you rode with me for 5 minutes. But I'm going to tell you something. The most encouraging thing I heard all week long was a young Christian that says, you know what I want? I want to see one person saved that I bring to church. You know what? You know what this church needs? You know what this church? Come on now. I don't want anybody to get, don't get your feelings hurt right here. I think what we might be missing is a burden. I think what we might be missing is a burden. I think we got so much view of the earthly world that we're missing out on the heavenly. This thing could all be over, Brother Kenny, tomorrow. Doctor's giving you a timeline. That doctor don't know nothing. Jesus come back tomorrow. We'll just go ahead and bypass death. I need somebody to help me. I'm going. I hope you're going with me. But when we get up there, Calvary Baptist Church is going to have a showing, and we're going to show out. I need somebody to help me. He's going to be like, oh, that's a Baptist church? I need somebody to help me. They're going to be Christians up there being like, oh, is that, that's the Baptist church? That's them. You mean the one? We're going to have a showing. But too many of us, the only time we got our eyes on Jesus is when we're inside this building. What's our burden this year? My man said, one soul. Just one person. Brother Kenny, think about that. Think about it. I need somebody to help me. Think about that. Just one person. How many of us would have taken that opportunity sitting by the preacher to say, man, I just hope I get to see a person a day saved this year? My man broke it, he just broke it, slammed down and said, just one person this year. And then he said, Brother Robbie, I know that ain't much. Brother Paul, that's more than I could ever ask. Amen. If every year, every one of us brought one to the Lord, we'd be searching for property. Where's our burden? Where's your goal? Paul said, I've not obtained. I've not gotten there yet. I'm looking forward to the day I'm going to look Jesus in the eye and I'm gonna grab hold, lay hold of what has laid hold of me. But until then, I'm going to press toward the mark. I'm forgetting those things that are behind. I'm reaching for those things that are before. I'm pressing toward the mark. One thing I do. But Paul said, just one saved. If just one person, if I can get one person saved this year, what's your goal? Dalton's coming to the piano. I'm done. It's over. It's through. What's your goal? Paul said that we'd all have this mindset. That's what he said in verse 15. Miss Carrie, if you can throw that up there. Verse number 15, he says, I wish we all had this mindset. As many as be perfect, I think he said. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything, you be otherwise minded. He said, and God shall reveal even this to you. It was important. It was so important that Paul says, I hope you're seeing it like I'm seeing it, but if you don't, I hope God reveals it to you. We bow our heads tonight. Altars are open. What's that one thing? What's that goal that you have this year spiritually? Say, I want to see one person say, man, I hope that's the goal of every person that's in here. I hope every single one of us wants to see one person say this year that we have personally invited, invested. I want to see it. Tonight, with heads bowed, I want to ask you a question. I ask it every Sunday. I try to ask it every service. I do that because somebody cared enough about me to ask it when I was in church. It was a question that I had to come face to face with, an answer that I had to look at myself in. And the question was this, if I was to die right now, did I know where I'd spend eternity? That's the question I'm asking you tonight. If you die right now, do you know where you'd spend eternity? If not, if you doubt, if you're struggling, I want to help you. Tonight you say, preacher, I do not know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. I want you to just lift your hand right up. Nobody's looking around. It's just me. Maybe you'd be honest with me and just lift your hand up and say, preacher, I do not know. You may have sat on a pew your whole life, been in church your whole life, worried about what somebody might say about it. If you don't know, let's get the thing settled tonight. Is there anybody in the building that raise a hand and say, preacher, I do not know. I'm unsure. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I thank you. Lord, for tonight, Lord, I thank you for Brother Paul. Revealing his heart. Praying. Just that one would get saved. Lord, I pray that every one of us take that goal. Lord, apply it to our lives. Lord, just one. Just one, just Lord, if one person that we invested in, one person that we witnessed to, one person that we brought to church, just one, if just one got saved. God, I pray that we set a goal in our walk, in our witness this year. Lord, thank you for bringing it in perspective, breaking it down. A goal that's obtainable. A goal that will take effort. But a goal that, God, you will honor. Lord, I love you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the people that are here tonight. There's so many other places they could have been. So many other preachers they could have been sitting under. God, they come here, and Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that they get a blessing tonight. I pray that they get help tonight. God, I pray that you would, Lord, minister to them. Lord, I know that you're powerful enough to minister in words that I never said, words that were never preached. God, I know you speak to the heart. So, Lord, we thank you in advance for what you're doing in the lives and hearts of every person in this building. Lord, I pray that you bless us as we go throughout the rest of this week, God, may we work on that goal. Lord, I pray that that goal is in every one of us, and may we work on that goal. We could see our goal this Sunday. We could see our goal before the end of this week. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we get a burden. Lord, for the lost in our workplace, in our family, in our community,